السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام، وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: كل نفس ذائقة الموت، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, respected brothers, our sisters, and the moderators, all those listening over the receivers, I have recited two ayat of the Quran Sharif, and these are ayat which you have heard many, many times. I was trying to get the ayat which we listened to just now in Surah Yasin Sharif. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ صدق الله العظيم. Now, if you put all these ayat together and many, many other ayat and verses of the Quran Sharif, then we come to the conclusion that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is reminding us repeatedly that this world is a transitory world. It's a temporary world. It's not a permanent place for anyone. Irrespective of who the person is, it's not a permanent world for anyone. And this we have been also discussing many, many times, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also discusses it many, many times. In different, different ways, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tries to draw our attention to the fact that we are in this world for a purpose. Sometimes He gives us the stories of the nations of the past, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and their preachings. So many other incidents have been mentioned. And then all the nasihats and all the waaz, we will say, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes with regards to maut and hayat. Any person who has got a little bit of understanding, it shakes his heart up. And then all the incidents that come before us in our lifetime, we talk about them, we witness them, but it does not seem to impact on our lives. The two incidents that took place on the day of Jumu'ah, 3 days ago, 4 days ago. Now, so many of them witnessed in the masjid. The person completes his salat, and before the salat, he was a fit person, meeting everybody, jovial, happy. And then suddenly, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and he's gone. Sakarat for a little while, and he's gone. I mentioned on Sunday morning also, in the Zikr Majlis that we have, that the two deaths that took place on that Friday, besides that, of course, in many parts of the world, in many, many places, we don't know how many other people left this world. But these two were Mubarak deaths. It was the day of Jumu'ah. The person is in the masjid, is in a state of wuzu, has just completed the namaz. Now what more does a person want? Whatever the good deed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves, we don't know. Therefore we cannot, I have repeatedly said, because people, alhamdulillah, these people were practicing. But I'm talking about many others there are, who pass away sometimes in sajda, sometimes in the haram sharif, sometimes reading the Quran Sharif, mouth comes like that, and then we begin wondering that what happened here now. This person, when he used to come to the masjid, we never used to even give any kind of recognition to him. We never expected that this person will get this kind of mouth or death. Some of them may not even have beards. Some of them may not be even punctual with their salat. Some of them may have some other kind of bad habits. But suddenly they are given a death in the month of Ramadan. Somebody gets death on the 27th night of Ramadan. Somebody gets death on Eid day. And somebody on the Mubarak 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And so many pass away in Arafat in different conditions. So what we have to remember, that one is usul and principle. Because I have been asked this question so many times. One is the usul and the principle. The principle and the usul is this, that we are in this world to make an effort. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses us with life. He blesses us with intelligence. He gives us a willpower. And then we are obliged to make amal. Namaz is first 5 times a day, so we have to make namaz for 5 times a day. We have to fast in Ramadan, we have to give zakat if due, go for hajj if farz, we have to fulfill the rights of everyone. We have to deal honestly, we have to transact our business in the proper Islamic manner. And we have to abstain from drinking, from gambling, from adultery, from fornication and from all the other haram. Now that is our duty as a Muslim in this world. And we are obliged to undertake those duties if we are in our senses. If the person is mad, is insane, then of course he's got no obligation. Or a little child. Or the person is fast asleep. So either the person is fast asleep, or is a little child, or is mad. So if anybody does not make amal on these things, then they must check this list of 3 things. Am I in one of these categories? If they find themselves in one of those categories, then we are not going to ask them any questions. If any adult considers himself to be a 5-year-old child, and therefore is not making namaz, so then we will question his intelligence. So then if he admits also, and the physicians also admit that he suffers from some kind of mental problem, so then it's a different issue. But we know that everybody who is sane, intelligent, then he is obliged to undertake these a'mal and actions. But that is the usul, that is the principle. However, there are exceptions to the rule. In the Hadith Sharif, we find that woman who saw the dog was dying, not a human being, not some great waliullah was dying. A dog was dying. Something that is najas. Something that is napak. If its saliva has to touch the clothes, we say must wash that section of the clothes. It is not something that is desirable. It is permissible if a person keeps it for hunting purposes, or the person has got it for security purposes. But then to the person must not make it a pet. If it's for security, then it must be for security. Keep it at the gate, they feed it. But don't start allowing it to lick your clothes and treat it as a pet, as many people do. So that kind of an animal was dying of thirst. And this woman of low morals and bad repute, now she takes out her socks, leather socks, and she gives water to this dog. The Nabi of the time is informed, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave her. When she passed away, Allah ta'ala forgave her. Not because she made a lot of namaz, kept a lot of fast, I'm just giving an explanation. Not because she made hajj upon hajj and umrah upon umrah. Not because she gave a lot of charities. And not because she was making a lot of zikr and tilawat of the Quran Sharif. It was just because of this amal that she made. Now will anybody after that say that it is permissible for the Muslim woman to have low moral, engage in fornication, adultery, or other kind of haram And the only thing she has to do is look around on the streets. Somewhere if you find some dying dog and give it some water. And you'll get Jannat. Can anybody conclude? There are many incidents of this kind. So that, I always say, is like the amnesty that the governments of the world give. The governments of the world, they give amnesty. Many a times when a king, there's an inauguration, or the president's inauguration, then many, many people are released from prison. Many of the prisoners are released. And lots of amnesty is given with regards to taxes and many other things. So now can anybody say then, let us steal, let us do all the wrong things, because there is going to be an inauguration tomorrow of the president, so therefore we too will get amnesty, or we too will be saved from going into prison. Nobody can conclude like that. That is something that is the prerogative of the king, or prerogative of the president, if he wants to give somebody amnesty or give somebody release from prison. But the rest of the people, or everybody in the country, will have to still obey all the laws. Just because there's going to be an amnesty given, it doesn't give anybody the right that straight away the person starts doing all the wrong things. Because he does not know who is going to be released. So like that, the Muslim does not know that what amal Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will like of the person and give him release, give him najat, give him salvation, give him aman. Nobody knows. There are so many incidents you will find in the kitabs that after death, after the person died, when somebody sees him in the dream, asks him that, how did Allah Ta'ala deal with you? Now of course, day of Qiyamah, Hisab, Kitab, everything will take place. But this is something that is shown, that this is how Allah Ta'ala will deal with this person. So they are not mentioning the namazes that they made, the tilawat that they made, and the tahajjud and ishraq and chasht and awabin that they made, and all the sadaqat that they gave. Sometimes it's just one small amal that the person made. And he says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave me because of that. Because of that one small amal. Now I'm not going in the direction, but in any case, there are so many incidents of that kind. So this gives us that important lesson. That we just can't say what is going to be the end of any person in this world. We must dislike the sin, dislike the evil, dislike the mischief, dislike the crime. But as far as the person is concerned, we must separate that from the person. We must always believe that that person can make sincere tawbah. He can repent. He can ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, irrespective of how far the person may have gone. But he can become a waliullah of the time, just with his sincere repentance and tawbah. And for the benefit of those who may not have heard, that I explain this very simply, that if you have to take a person who was engaging in adultery, he was womanizing, he was a gambler, and he was not even making one namaz a day, he was doing absolutely nothing that was according to Sharia, Quran and Sunnah. So we dislike that person, and we spoke bad about the person, and we said that he is like this, he is like that, he is like that. And then after some time, then the person gave up all his sins, after listening to some nasihats, after having recited the Quran Sharif and read some meaning and translation, or he went out in the Jamaat, or he went to some khanqa, or some waz nasihat had an impact on his heart and he changed his whole life. Now he became pious, righteous, start making the qazas, he started returning the monies to whomsoever he was owing. And he started asking for maaf, whomsoever he may have caused hurt, injury and pain. So now we speak very good of this person. What a person he is. Look at his akhlaq, look at his character, look at his namaz, look at his behavior, look at his tilawat, look at his sajdas and look at his zikr and look at his ibadat. So now what difference came in the person? The person is still the same, his face didn't change color. It's not that before he was black, now he became white, or now before he was white, now he became black. The person's facial features remain the same. His body size, That, of course, if he started overeating after that, then can change. But otherwise, what I'm saying is that the person's features don't change. He's still the same. So it shows clearly that we too were disliking the evil that was in him. Why are we now talking good? So we're not talking about the person. What we are really talking about are those actions that the person was engaging in. He was engaging in evil actions we disliked. And he was engaging in good action, now we like. So there is a separation because we don't know the end result. And that is what we all seem to be negligent about. We come to conclusion just on the person's present state and we say this person will die like this, this person will die like that. Even if he is a total disbeliever in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we must not say that this person will die, na'uzu billah, on kufr or on shirk, or he will remain a Yahudi all his life. Or this person will remain a Nasara, a Christian all his life. Even if the person is on kufr and shirk, then too we cannot conclude that this person will remain like this all his life. Which person can ever say? Is anybody a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that wahi will come to him and he'll be informed that these people Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sealed their hearts and now they will never ever accept Islam. There are many people, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed of them. Now will anybody have that kind of vision to see the future that this person who's at present in kufr, in shirk, and is going to be still living in this world for another 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, so he will die also on kufr and shirk. How many times I have mentioned the incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Wallah, that incident, it baffles a person's imagination, as I say. Baffles the imagination. We just can't understand Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Zat-e-Ali and His rahmat and His mercy and His forgiveness and how He has the qudrat to change a person's life. Sets out with a sword to assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Not any ordinary Muslim also. Sets out to assassinate Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses him with hidayat. That whole story is well known. And then look at the heights that he reaches. Quranic ayat are revealed according to the desire of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Muwafiqat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Ayat of the Quran Sharif, that a thought comes in his mind and he really desires that some ayat of the Quran Sharif must be revealed. There are many, many ayat like that. That's another subject. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveals it exactly like that. He becomes Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen. And who is under him? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, so many companions of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they are under his rule. And then where he rests, next to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, if we take that as a journey, the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala as a journey, from where to where, as they say, then can anybody truly understand, except that it is hidayat that came from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And of course it was the dua of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which he had made for one of the two Umars. So therefore we should not conclude hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. Shaykh Hazrat Shaqi Muhammad Sa'udah Ahmad Barakatuhum, he says this is an antibiotic. Whenever a little bit of vanity, pride, arrogance and comes into our minds and hearts, then think of this. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. In this world, a person can call a person with all kinds of titles and names. Qiyamah day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how he's going to deal with the different people, only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows. Day when Allah ta'ala will say, I'm pleased with you, go to Jannat, then we'll celebrate. Here we have to just go on. So therefore I'm saying that is the principle of the thing. That looking at somebody passing away on a Jummah day, or somebody passing away in the night of Qadr, or somebody passing away in the month of Ramadan, for passing away in Arafat. Like I had an SMS, one brother sent an SMS, he said one person making tawaf as ziyarat in the state of ihram now, having completed his hajj or finishing his tawaf as ziyarat, and thereafter he collapses and he's gone. Now what can be a better mouth than that? Somebody passing away in Riyazul Jannah. Now that is not in our control. We cannot say that we will also get exactly the same kind of mouth. So therefore now we must do whatever we wish to do. That is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's prerogative. We don't know which amal Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala likes of which person. There are lots of people who are making such kind of istighfar and tawbah. They are ashamed of their sins. They are expressing great remorse, great regret. They cry at night. They say, oh Allah, we want to change, we want to become yours, we want to be your walis, but nafs and shaitan has gripped us and is not allowing us to move in that direction. They write that we cry, but still we can't seem to get going. Now we don't know, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala may just accept those tears that they were shedding and give them some kind of Mubarak mouth, and then we all just keep looking. One of the ayat which I recited is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whomsoever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decides to give hidayat, the anya is mazdariya. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ. Whomsoever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decides to give hidayat, Allah Ta'ala opens his chest for Islam. The literal meaning of shara is to open. Now here then we can give a kind of an extended meaning. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala expands the person's chest. Now it doesn't mean that his chest expands. What it means that heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala expands it to such an extent, with ilm, with ma'rifat, with yaqeen, with tawakkul, with iman, and with all these type of ulum, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala expands the person's chest, or opens up the person's chest, to be able to receive that kind of ulum and ma'rifat and yaqeen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, alam nashrah laka sadrak. So like that for the awliya-i kiram, and for those people whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives hidayat, and the hidayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, although he kept it with him, that he gives hidayat, but we are told to seek that hidayat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us again that intelligence, gave us the Quran Sharif, gave us the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam teachings, gave us different medium to learn. So whomsoever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wishes to give hidayat, then yashrah sadrahu lil-islam. Shara of his sadr takes place for Islam. So Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, he says that when this ayat was revealed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went on the mimbar and he recited this verse. In other words, now he recited this verse to the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in and said that this is the verse that has been revealed upon me. In one trip with my Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Kimud, Dr. Safdam al Barakatum, I don't know how many times I must have heard this. So that immediately after that, when the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in asked, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what is the sign that this person has been given hidayah? For Allah Ta'ala has made shara of his sadr, this heart, this chest of his, that sharah that has taken place, that opening up now to receive that ulum and marifat and yaqeen and tawakkul and trust, I'm just giving you a meaning. So now what is the sign of that? How will we recognize that this person has now got this sharah of his heart? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala enters a noor into that heart. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala enters a noor into that heart. So yes, I was telling you, what Hazrat said many times, or I heard from him. He said that, now if only that much was told, Allah Ta'ala makes shara and he enters a noor, and nothing further was asked. So then, those people with white skin would have said, that don't you see how much of noor has entered my heart? Can't you see it on my skin? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They did us a great favor that they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the sign of that noor having entered the heart? There must be some kind of sign by means of which we can recognize. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, At-tajafi an daril ghurur. The person flees. He runs away from. Or the person is averse to the darul ghurur. This world of mischief, the world of deception, a world of delusion and illusion. A world which is outwardly very, very beautiful, but in reality there is nothing but deception in it. This world Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us everything so that we make use of it to get the akhirah. But he said, this person now, he doesn't get caught up in the traps of nafs and shaitan. Doesn't get caught up in all the other webs that we have nowadays. And in all the other nets that we have. Because these days that's what happens, either the person gets caught in a net or gets caught in a web. Somewhere he gets caught. Most of the letters that come, they're either caught in the net or they're caught in the web. So daril ghurur, at-tajafi an daril ghurur. So that is the first sign. Now we can discuss this at length, but I'm not going into a detailed discussion. And the next thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Wal inabatu ila daril khulud." The person is conscious that there is an hereafter. Again, by way of explanation, that the person is conscious in his life that there is a hereafter. There is going to be akhirat, there is going to be qiyamah, there is going to be day of judgment, there is going to be accountability for these actions of mine. So he turns towards that. His mind is there. He is living in this world, but he is concentrating on the hereafter. Every action of his now, he takes some kind of x-ray that where is this action leading me to? Will it be beneficial for me in the hereafter or not? Hazrat's beautiful shair, Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath rehke bhi sab se juda rahe. That we have to live in this world. It's a world of asbab. It's a world of means. And there is no question of divorcing the world. People say, divorce the world, kick the world, boot the world. I've got nothing to do with the world. Which person can say, I've got nothing to do with the world? If the world is the name of food and drink and clothes and shelter and transport and some gold and silver, then can anybody say that I've got nothing to do with it? So that is not the what we term as dunya. The person can have a very expensive mattress, but if that mattress does not make him oversleep and neglect his fajr salat, then there's nothing wrong with it. So dunya is not the name of the material things. Dunya is when it diverts us from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala auladukum an zikrillah. Wa man yaf'al dhalika fa ulaika humul khasirun. La tulhikum amwalukum wala auladukum. Your wealth and your children must not divert you from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath rehke bhi sab se juda rahe. The heart of the awliya-e-kiram, the heart of the Allah walas, the heart of the salihin, the righteous and the pious. Now here, whenever we talk about righteous, pious, then we think immediately how much of tahajjud he makes, how much of ishraq he makes, and how much of zikr and tilawat he makes. All that is out of the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person increases and does, but within his capacity, doesn't increase so much that he gets dehydrated. Then we'll say Alhamdulillah. But that is not what is required for the person to be salih, to be righteous and pious. It is abstinence from sins and the fulfillment of the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is easy for every Muslim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hasn't designed Islam just for some particular section of the community. And the others say that, no, it's impossible. How can we ever become righteous and pious? Look at how simple Islam has been made. The ordinary person can make 5 times namaz. He can fast in Ramadan, give zakat, you go for hajj if farz, eat and drink that which is halal. Stay away from cinemas, theatres, discos, movies, adultery, fornication, gambling. Can anybody say that? No, it's impossible for the ordinary man. But if the ordinary man does not want to practice, to hi agar na chahe to bahana hazar hai, so then there are a lot of excuses the person can make. So they are in this world, but they do not become buyers of this world. They buy the things of this world, but they do not become buyers of this world. There's a difference buying the things of this world for the purpose of living in this world. So you buy a car, you buy a home, you buy clothes, you buy food, you buy drink. That is permissible. But the person buys this world, meaning that now he says that this is my permanent place of residence. It's not a permanent place of residence. We are all temporary citizens. Temporary. We got permits to stay for a certain period of time. So therefore the third sign that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, وَالِاسْتِعْدَادُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ, preparation, readiness for death before it comes. Readiness for that death. The person is ready. He expects it any time. While he's sitting here, then he expects it. Going outside and driving, he expects it. In his business, he expects it. While traveling overseas, he expects it. He may be making nikah, but he expects maut. The person can be planting trees, he expects maut. The person can be putting up an orchard, but he expects maut. He can be putting up a huge building, and he expects maut. In other words, he knows when he is doing these things that it is because he is living in this world. It's a world of means, and it's a teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that he must earn halal livelihood, he must make nikah also, and he must do this and do that. So therefore he's doing it. But he does not have any kind of trust in that life that he has been blessed with, that when that life can expire. Doesn't have trust in that. So therefore the only thing he will have to do is abide by the Sharia, that's about all. Nothing difficult in that. But his conscience, his, means before the person leaves his home, before the person goes to sleep, the person is ready. He does not know whether he will get up the next morning. Now these beautiful deaths that took place on the day of Jumu'ah, one after the Jumu'ah and one drown after Asr. He also shaheed on the day of Jumu'ah, trying to save somebody that was drowning. Now these type of deaths are Mubarak. But the thing is that 1 minute before that, the person did not know what is going to happen. This plane crashes, nobody knows. The passengers did not know that this plane will not make us reach our destination where we intended to go. The ticket has been purchased for some country of the world. The person has purchased a ticket to go to some country of the world. But they don't arrive there, that destination. They've gone to the Akhirah. So this is why I repeatedly say that we who have got some ta'alluq with our masajid, with our madaris, with our khanqas, with our akabir, mashayikh, with the Quran Sharif and with deen, with tabligh, with hajj and with umrahs and with so we have to be more on guard. Because what a kind of embarrassment that will be that if the person after his death, it is said that this person used to be in the first saf, this person used to be in the jamaat, this person used to be in the khanqa, this person used to be in the, making tilawat all the time, and the person used to be making hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah. But when he died, then on his cell phone and on his computer and in his files and in his home, in his cupboards, things were found which were not appropriate for such a person. There was evidence of his sins in there. What he was watching, what he was looking at. When he thought that nobody was watching him, what was he watching? When he thought that nobody was watching. And at that time, what he was watching. Don't think that we can just erase everything like that, suddenly. Death will come suddenly, will the person have time to go and make wasiyat? Or will he have time to then go and delete? Will he have then time to erase all that evidence that he has of his sins? So is this not sufficient for a person to make amal on that which is haq and which is right and which is correct and which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? There's so many things to enjoy life. What is the need to go for this? So therefore this readiness for death, that is one of the signs. Person is ready. That if my death comes, then I'm ready. On one auspicious night, the masjid was full. And I mentioned this. I said, this big night, Mubarak night, if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam has to be sent and ask us or inform us that it's a Mubarak night and everybody is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness and we all want Jannat in the Akhirat. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has now sent me to inform you that all of you who are now in this masjid, then if you want, then I can send Israel alayhi salam. He'll extract your soul right now and immediately from here transfer you to Jannah. How many will be ready? Put your hands up. See how many will be ready. Even though we promised Jannah, even though we are promised by that information that you will get Jannah, just see how many of us will put up our hands. We will tell us that Jibreel also, just hold on a little while because I still got a few things to sort out. As soon as I sort out all that, then I'll let you know. That is our readiness. So these incidents that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes to happen before us are lessons for us. They are all lessons for us. But we have just reduced it to some kind of statement that we make. That's all. A comment. What a Mubarak that, mashallah, he passed away in the masjid. Finish. But what lesson did we take of the sudden death? And they had Mubarak deaths, but what about so many other deaths which are taking place in cinemas, theatres, discos, gambling dens, nightclubs, dance halls, other places? Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Ali outside his khanqa is written there. Reh ke dunya mein bashar ko nahi zeba ghaflat. And our Hazrat has got it too on the wall there as soon as you enter the masjid. Reh ke dunya mein bashar ko nahi zeba ghaflat. Maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. Reh ke dunya mein bashar ko nahi zeba ghaflat. Maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. Jo bashar aaya hai yahan ye kehti hai qaza. मैं भी पीछे चली आती हूँ जरा ध्यान रहे. जो बशर आया है दुनिया में ये कहती है कज़ा. इसे whichever person has come into this world, रह के दुनिया में बशर को नहीं जेबा वक़्त. It's not right of a human being to be negligent, to be indifferent, and we're talking about the Muslim especially here, for him to be unconcerned that death can come suddenly. रह के दुनिया में बशर को नहीं जेबा वक़्त. Maut ka dhyan bhi lazim hai ke har aan rahe. The person must be conscious that maut will come. Whichever person, he say, has come into this world. Jo bashar aaya hai dunya mein, ye kehti hai qaza. His mouth says, be careful, be conscious, be aware, be alert. Don't be negligent. I am following you. I am behind you. Now the person like that, we are so conscious, we are all so conscious when it comes to our cars and our, when you're going to the banks and everywhere else, then we're so conscious. Who's behind us? Who's behind us? We don't want to be hijacked, murdered, killed. So there we are very conscious that who's behind us. So here mouth is behind us all the time. And we don't even know when it is going to come. Therefore, we should clear up all our affairs. We should have everything ready, everything above board. There must be nothing outstanding, as we say. If there are monies owing, then record it, whom we are owing the money to. Make wasiyat with regards to whatever wasiyat has to be made. Because we don't know when the person will suddenly go. Koi dam me ye dam nikal jayega. Anytime this will stop. And then after that, the only thing the person can say is, shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya, ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya, ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. Neither does the wife accompany the person to the grave, inside the grave, nor those dear, beloved children go into the grave. Nor do those friends say, okay, put me also inside the grave, let me give him some company. At the most, they come and convey the person to the grave. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo, shukriya. Thanks very much all of you who conveyed me to my grave. I know that you and none of you will come inside now. I will have to carry on. All alone. But if the person has done good deeds, good actions, his namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, tilawat, sadaqat, caring for the poor, the needy, the destitute, the widows, the happiness that he put into people's lives, the khidmat and service that he does of deen, all these things will light up the grave, and after that there will be no question of, or there will be no need for friends and wife and children in the grave. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give the person such kind of enjoyment and such kind of gardens. And he will be told, Nam kanaumati larus, now sleep away like a new bride. So it's those actions that will accompany the person. The good actions or the bad actions. So let us take a stock of our lives. Let us not be negligent. Make use of the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Be happy, be cheerful. Nobody stops us. Eat, drink within the parameters of Sharia. There is entertainment, there's everything. But don't fall for these traps of nafs and shaitan, the greatest of which in these days are these webs and nets, and the bazaars and the marketplaces. The fitnas of all kind are laid out before us. And an invitation to fitnas, and an invitation to sin from the newspapers, the magazines, the television, the radio, everything just inviting to us, nothing but nafs and shaitan. And since the non-Muslims, it is jannat for them, so when they are enjoying themselves, the Muslim also wants to do exactly like what they are doing. Exactly like that. Because he believes that if you are not going to do it, then they'll make a mockery of us, they'll tease us, that what kind of Muslims, you're not enjoying this. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all hidayat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us shara sadar also. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must save us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan, and give us all the tawfiq to be ready for death before death comes. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya ibul Mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. My beloved Allah, Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving Allah, most beneficent, most merciful, most tolerant Allah. We have been most negligent, my beloved Allah. We haven't made any preparation for the hereafter. Our lives are a total disaster, my Allah. Day and night, nothing. But disobedience of yours and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are rebelling all the time, my beloved Allah. We make use of your bounties, your ni'mats, your gifts of sight, of hearing, of speech, of hands and feet, of heart and mind, your gift of wealth, of home, of transport. So much of it we use for your disobedience. Any other Allah would have seized us and destroyed us. How merciful you are. How tolerant you are. How generous and kind you are. How forgiving you are. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. We are expressing remorse and regret. Don't seize us, my beloved Allah. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. In the light of day or darkness of night. Oh, my beloved Allah. Bless us with hidayat. Bless us all with hidayat. Rabbe Kareem. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, in homes, amongst us, wherever in the world they may be, bless them with shifa. We know that sometimes sicknesses, ailments and pain and suffering can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. It can be a test and a trial. But my beloved Allah, we are not in that category. We are asking for forgiveness of our sins. And even if it is in the form of rahmat for some people, change it to the rahmat of good health. If that poverty is rahmat, change it to the rahmat of good wealth. If that weakness is rahmat, change it to the rahmat of strength, my beloved Allah. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulty. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat and Mustaqeem. Give the parents the himmat, the courage, the strength, the tawfiq to throw out of their homes and their lives all those things that are causing so much of corruption in the lives of the children. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us role models for our children. Nafs and shaitan have overpowered us. Nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. Rabbe Kareem, those who are returning from Hajj, return them safely to their homes and families. Make their Hajj maqbool and mabroor. Ey Rabbe Kareem, Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Koi mujhse puche, main kya mangta hoon. Main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. Ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. Yehi raat din mein dua mangta hoon. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made dua for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless the entire mankind with hidayah. Wherever in the world mankind is suffering, remove their suffering, their pain and difficulties. Especially that of the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Somalia, Sudan, all parts of the world, my beloved Allah. Apne fazl o karam ka mamla farma. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda ba ummeede karam aaya. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Fulfill their good wishes and good desires. The students who are writing examinations, give them success in their examination. Make them assets for our community. You are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night after this majlis. We are not aware, but you are aware, my Allah, what the difficulties are, pain and suffering. With your fazl, kindness and ihsan, remove the pain, suffering, difficulties, hardship, sickness, diseases, tests and trials. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى يا الله those who have passed away fill the graves with nur bless them with jannatul firdaus give sabr e jameel ajr e azim to their family members kids and kin. When our time of death come, take us to Madinah Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madinah Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Baqi. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab batan hota. Wahan ke gulshano mein koi apna bhi chaman hota. Basar ab zindagi apni diyare quds mein hoti. Wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi ghor. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين